This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Craig Hoffman.
That's something we have to discuss with our higher-ups.
The Hoffman Show.
You can't just say it on the air and be like,
I wish we could proclaim it. I wish it worked like that.
We all get raises!
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, or at least we will be shortly, once we get the technology all hooked up and going. Quick turnaround from the Russell Show. Live from Tap 99 outside of Nats Park. First pitch just moments away inside. Every single person here who hears my voice right now is very, very sad because they're going to miss first pitch. I'm so sorry for all of you. What was I supposed to do? Lie to them? Ah, guys, sorry. They waited for you. Just opening day. Plenty of Nats fans out here. A couple Phillies fans here. Nobody cares. Not a single person cares. But Nats fans, hope you enjoy the game. Should be a lot of fun this season. So many young guys coming up. I think one of the fun things about being out live and especially outside of a stadium, and whether we're broadcasting live or not, I go through this experience every time I drive up to what the heck do they call it now? Northwest Stadium, FedEx Field, Commander Stadium, that place in Landover, is to see all the jerseys evolve over the years. And for so many years, it was a bunch of dudes in burgundy and gold jerseys that you just, it was like, you know, that guy hasn't played in 15 years. That guy's 30 years ago. That guy's this. And I think one of the fun things about being out today is I'm starting to see some of the new guys. Saw a Dylan Cruz jersey. You're starting to see, Mackenzie Gore. Like, yeah, there's still a lot of Juan Soto jerseys. Yeah, there's still Max Scherzer jerseys, as there should be. Those guys did amazing things here, helped win a championship. There's Strasburg jerseys. There's all of that. But to see some of the young players that we've heard the promise of for so long start to make their way into the majors, start to see some of the jerseys on the back, start to be, as I see kids on shoulders and kids in line standing, behaving themselves quite nicely out here, that those are the players that these kids are going to grow up watching. And I think that's really cool to start to see. Opening day, a day where spring, or hope always springs eternal, and we're here broadcasting live outside here on the Team 980. Of course, a lot of our focus, though, today is going to be on Maryland tonight. The Terps are having one of the weirdest weeks we have ever seen for an athletic program, certainly within recent memory. Their men's team wins on a thrilling buzzer beater on Sunday night, where they are finally on the right end of one. Four straight losses earlier this season on the wrong end of the other team's final possession. They finally get it. It's super exciting. But in the background is this coaching story, this coaching drama. They follow it up with their women's program having one of the most epic comebacks in NCAA tournament history on Monday, 17 points down with just under 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. They come back. They win in double overtime despite 46 points from an opponent. Just a remarkable, remarkable, achievement. And then you top that off with this story about Kevin Willard and his desire to go to Villanova. And for any of you that have been here for a while and were hearing Chris Russell rant about this, or perhaps you were listening on your way in, I was sitting here laughing because I feel so polarly opposite from how he feels about this. And I think how a lot of the tide has turned this week. I think early in the week, a lot of people looked at what Kevin Willard was doing and thought it was admirable. They thought that speaking up, fighting it for what you want for your program was something that was going to be beneficial, was something that they were in support of because it seemed like he was fighting for Maryland. I think now a lot of people see that completely differently because he wasn't actually fighting for Maryland. He was fighting for himself. And now that he's going to Villanova, potentially, and he's ruining this week for Maryland, it's like, oh my God, what a terrible person. Here's the thing about values, though. Now I'm going to get big picture. This is the lecture. I got kids walking by. So kids, let me teach you something about values. No? She's like, I'm on the phone. Please leave me alone right now. If your values change based off who they apply to, they're not actually your values. And so if you think Maryland basketball or Maryland athletic program needs to do better, then that doesn't change whether Kevin Willard, what you think he's fighting for the program or whether he's fighting for himself. If you think they need to be better and that certain things need to happen to be a big-time athletic program, then that is exactly what it means. If you think that a certain thing that is admirable applies to one group of people, it should apply to all people. Like that is what it means to be a value, is it actually translates everything. And so when you all of a sudden flip based off of what you think the person's motivation is, either you're for it or you're not. Either you're for Kevin Willard pushing the Maryland program forward or you're not. And I think the reason a lot of people have flipped, and I watch Russell and others, I'm sure JP earlier today as a Maryland alum was crushing Willard, and they flip on this is because what they actually don't like. Hey, I don't know if you're lost, but that we don't do that here. We don't know. See, that's the thing. You have a Lombardi trophy at home. You can go hug that at night and cuddle it and feel good about yourself, yelling very loud like a drunken moron. We don't do that in D.C. So, thanks. Turn around, ma'am. Okay, sure. See ya. Right. What was that? Yeah, you can tell because they're loud, obnoxious, and not very smart. It's identifying characteristics. Jeopardy off? What is live radio show? Don't care for 500, please. It's the Hoffman Show. It's right now. I don't care. See ya. Have a nice day. The point is about Maryland is that when you have a program that fancies itself a top-tier basketball program, which is what Maryland fans think of their basketball program, and then all of a sudden you get your coach leaving for a small Catholic school with 7,000 people or 7,000 students in attendance, and you're a large public school who fancies yourself a basketball school, and you don't like how that makes you feel, it's not because the coach is disloyal. It's because you're being told who you are and you don't like it. And that's an uncomfortable thing for this Maryland situation is we have a program in Maryland that sees itself as we are a premier program. We hate being little brothered in the Big Ten. We don't like the officiating we get. We don't like this. We don't like that. And it's just that's the truth is, you're not who you think you are if this is how you're going to act. If Kevin Willard is like, I need more resources to compete with the top of the market, and your response is, we don't want to give you that, then you're not a top basketball program. What he's asking for is the reality of what it takes to compete in the modern NCAA. And so, yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it's really terrible that it's this week that for these kids who are supposed to have this great week, that this is happening to them. But I guarantee you within that locker room, they're not focused on any of that. They're focused on beating Florida tonight. A game you can hear right here on the Team 980. So as you guys leave Nats Park tonight or on the way home, tune into the Team 980 if you want to hear the Maryland game. We got the local coverage. Of course, we're your flagship home for the Terps here in D.C. We also have the NCAA tournament all weekend long here on the station, courtesy of Westwood One. We also have the Maryland women tomorrow on the Team 980 starting at 5 o'clock. But I think that the difference and what they want is, like, are you willing to give what it takes to compete and or not? And if you're not, then you're going to have to settle with coaches leaving you when they have success. And if you are, then you'll have the best coach that you can get, stay around for a long time. It's just that simple. And so I'm curious how Maryland fans think about that as they head into the biggest game they've had since 2016 tonight. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live now on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Don't worry about it if you missed it on YouTube for the first segment. Only missed so much. Talking about Kevin Willard and this Maryland situation, which we continue to talk with you now on the phones at 301-230-0980 as we're broadcasting live from Tap 99 here in Navy Yard across from the center field entrance at Nats Park. Lively crowd here as they're getting ready to go inside. Nats just underway inside against the Phillies. 301-230-0980 is our phone number, though. Let's go ahead and get things started on the phones. What do you think of Kevin Willard potentially leaving for Villanova, especially the timing of all of this? Let's go to Marcus and Brandywine. Marcus, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
What's going on, Hoff? How are you feeling today, man?
I'm feeling all right, man. Eagles fans have proved they can go to baseball games and spell, which is better than the last time we saw them try to spell. Maybe they'll eventually figure out what sport they're going at, too. But, you know, that's all right. We're just here. We're just having a good time.
For sure, man. For sure, man. Hey, listen. So this is how I feel about, I guess, this whole Kevin Willard situation. Now, I guess the way he went about it, could he have went about it a different way? Sure. But you got to kind of look at the bigger picture, just like you touched on. Maryland doesn't want to be viewed as the little brother. Then you have to start making moves that don't view you as that. Because if this keeps happening in the next couple of years, regardless of who they hire, they're going to come in. They're going to see that the priority isn't the basketball team, and it's just going to be a never-ending carousel. So, I mean, I guess if Maryland fans wanted to take the emotion out of it and actually see what's going on here, they would understand the issue and not, I guess, beat down Willard so much. I mean, I understand his point of view. Not necessarily, like I said, the delivery, you know, he could have went about it a different way. But, I mean, ultimately, he's right. And this is going to keep continuing regardless of what conference Maryland is going to be in. If you continue to treat the basketball program as second fiddle to whatever else you're prioritizing, you're going to have this carousel, this never-ending carousel of coaches coming in, wanting more resources, getting denied, and then leaving for a school that can do just that. So, I mean, the ball is in Maryland's court, no pun intended, but it's literally on them at this point moving forward. They know what needs to be done, and if either they do it or in 1 or 2 years we have another coach coming in. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, no, Marcus, I hear you, and thanks for the call. 301-230-0980 is our phone number. The thing about there's a better way he could have gone about it actually bothers me on, like, a fundamental level. And this is maybe me being on a high-horse journalism platform, whatever you want to call this position. But I kind of hate when people in power say, that's a tough question. Is it? Or is it a tough answer? Because if I ask you a question that you are uncomfortable with the answer to, now, there are times where, yes, that you could be, as a journalist, or, you know, if you're handling a certain situation, my wife has told me, you can be wrong while still being right. Like, there are situations where you can handle the interpersonal relationships of that. But when it comes to people in power and getting what they want, sometimes business is messy. And it's just the reality of the situation. And so, while I'm sure that behind the scenes, Willard was negotiating and trying to move the ball forward, he clearly, one of two things happened. He got to a point where he didn't feel like the ball was moving anymore, and he felt like public pressure was the way to go, which what I would totally understand, considering the person he was negotiating with left. He was negotiating with an athletic director that's now at SMU, and he was the one who kind of told the world about it. Like, yeah, man, by the way, that guy's gone. See, so I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So there could be that side of it where it's like, okay, he probably could have kept it in-house and talked to the next person. And he, when he was on with Kevin Sheehan earlier this week, did a great job of complimenting those people, saying Maryland's where he wants to be, all that. But at the end of the day, the reason that people are upset, I think, that he aired dirty laundry is because there's dirty laundry to air in the first place. Maryland, as any fan that is not liking what Willard's doing, but certainly on the administration side, is looking at this being like, I don't like that that's the truth. They're not butting back and saying, like, this isn't true, and there might be reasons for it. To be clear, this isn't a black and white situation, especially when you compare Maryland and Villanova. And while on one hand it's easy to dunk on Maryland and be like, you're a huge public school, you have a big fund, whatever, this, that, the other thing, Villanova is a small school, they don't even have football. The they don't even have football part of it actually is an advantage potentially for Villanova soon, because in the changing landscape of college sports, there might be a salary cap coming, a salary cap that would be how much you can pay athletes in total in your program, and then all of a sudden, not having football, if you're the basketball coach, seems like a pretty sweet deal. And so if you are Kevin Willard and you're looking at a future at Maryland where half of your money might go to the football program, or a future at Villanova where it might not, that seems like a relevant data point if you want to build a winner. So I'm not even saying this is an easier situation, but the reality is that where we are right now, that stuff's not in place yet. And Willard clearly is not getting the things that he wants in terms of the revenue split, the resources, etc. That being true and not being up to par with the market is the problem, more so than him saying it out loud. Him saying it out loud is him using his leverage. Speaking the truth out loud, it doesn't make it any more or less true. That's the thing. It's the truth. And so as long as what he's saying is true, which it seems to be based off of all, one, the anecdotes that have come out, and two, the earlier in the week reaction of plenty of high-profile Maryland alums who agreed with him, including Kevin Sheehan on this very show, and Kevin's talked about it quite a bit as a very prominent, vocal, and known Maryland alum on this very station, then I tend to think that the problem is not that he said it, but that it's true in the first place. You're saying, no, that's not a problem. Guy in the Maryland shirt. You can't stand Willard? Not now? Because he said true stuff about your program? He's running to a place that's going to serve him better. So you agree? I'm just repeating for people on the radio. You agree with what he said about the athletic department, but but if he's leaving, it's not any more or less true. Either what he said is true or not. The next coach is going to have to deal with the same stuff. You just don't like him because he's leaving. So it's about you. It's about how you feel. It's not about the truth or not of whether or not what he said is ultimately true. Because I guarantee you, the next coach that you cheer on, that you're like, let's go new person in Maryland, that, by the way, you're going to steal from another school that has less resources than Maryland and then leaves in 2 years, you're going to go in the same process. And that's the point. Right, but that's what he's saying. Right. He's saying the right thing. People don't like Willard because all of a sudden he might say the right thing and then leave. When's he going to have more leverage? When is he going to have more power? Well, it depends on whether they give him what they want. That's the whole thing. Him getting what he wants now, he's never going to have more leverage than right now. He also doesn't have time, because if Villanova's on the phone on the other one going, hey, dude, we need a decision. And so he's got to make decisions. By the way, when he was asked today about it at the press conference, he said, we're focused on Florida, or yesterday when he had the press conference. Now it's become a bigger media story as more and more reporting is happening on this. And again, it's not Willer. Kevin Willer didn't change who he was. Maryland hasn't changed who they are. One of those is a problem. Yeah, and then he won. And actually, he did. He talked about it candidly. He said, this is where I'm at. He said great things when he was on with Sheehan earlier this week. And the whole thing is, either he's right or he's not. He didn't switch up. He's been consistent. That's the point. We're talking about the issues between him and the university. So, again, I think Maryland fans are upset. And you're clearly a longtime fan. That's a beautiful 2001 Final Four. Season ticket holder who's with us outside Nats Park. By the way, the game's starting, bro. You sacrifice your place now. You care about that tonight. I think people, and I get it, right? If it was my university used to be good at basketball. I went to Syracuse. We just suck now. So that didn't matter about anything. I wish Jim Boeheim would have left 10 years before he did. So, you know, what do I know? I'm just a guy who covers sports. But I think that the problem for Maryland is, I think fans like yourself care so deeply about this program and want to see yourself. Basketball. Exactly. Basketball. And that's why I said program, not just athletic department, right? You care so much about the program, and you see yourselves, based off of your history and your experiences, as a top flight basketball program. And what Willard is basically exposing is, you're not. And that's the part that angers you. And instead of channeling the anger at the program, at the athletic department, you are instead channeling it at Willard, because he's the guy in front telling you the thing you don't want to hear right now. The fact is, the facts on the ground haven't changed. He wants more for the program. If he doesn't get it, he can get it somewhere else. He has no responsibility to Maryland, because that's how college sports work. That's how the college contracts work. Coaches leave all the time. Players now leave all the time. Because everyone's in it for themselves, and that's just the market in which this all exists. If you want to keep people, you're going to have to pay up. You're going to have to pay the players. You're going to have to pay the coaches. And that is, until the NCAA steps in and makes this thing not the Wild Wild West, that's the reality of where we're going to live. Tell you what, I will talk with you in the commercial break about this, but I'm going to be a good radio host, and I'm going to toss the break. When we get back, we'll take more of your calls, 301-230-0980, here on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980, where you see I'm leaning back to try to keep my face out of the sun. Is my camera overheating? What do we got going on here? Not bringing sunscreen was an extraordinary rookie mistake today. What was I thinking? If any of our staff back here, Daniel's probably got a million wires. If I needed a new wire, that'd be my guy right there. You don't have sunscreen, do you? No. Rookie mistake. Oh, my God. Someone's got sunscreen. Amazing. This is the beauty of a radio show. Sometimes you say things and they show up. Hey, has anyone got $1 million back there? No? No? She's like, I don't know, but if they do, I want some. I give you like five, at least. I don't have it yet. They handed me sunscreen. That's nice. So I'm going to put some of that in my hands. Chris, Metal Chris, everybody. You don't. What else is in that bag?
Everything.
Ludacris wants to ask that question, I believe. What you got in that bag? Anyway, apropos of none of that, it's the Hoffman Show. We are on the Team 980. We're broadcasting live outside of Tap 99, where folks have mostly made their way inside. Nats and Phillies are in the now end of the second. No score through two innings across the street. Literally across the street. I'm used to saying that, like, down the street. We're like, hey, down the street at Nats Park. No. Like, I am on the street. There is the center field gate. Inside is a baseball game. There used to be a lot of people here, including way too many drunk Philly fans. God, they're the worst. And that's the thing. Philadelphia is a wonderful city. This lady's now walking by with her Eagles jacket like, I'm not going to look at him. It's okay. Ma'am, your city's lovely. It's the people that root for your sports teams that are a nightmare. That gave me a thumbs down. Honestly, that's not the finger I'm used to from Philly fans. It's normally a different one. Was I making a point? Probably not. Probably not. What? She, a Philly fan? You seem nice. There's some dudes earlier that are not. You're not nice? No? Did you throw something at Santa Claus once? Was that you? Did we find you after all these years? You booed Santa Claus? What'd he do to you? What didn't he do? Sometimes that is the question. Sometimes that is the question. We're live at Tap 99. They have 99 taps of beer on the wall. Did Rooster ever like sing during promoting that earlier? 99 taps. I feel like it's asking for the 99 bottles. But that's taps. They've got that. Killwind's right next door. Phenomenal if you want to get the ice cream, the chocolates, the whole deal. They got to buy two slices, get one free deal right there on the window. So come on through and say what's up. Also a great spot if you want to watch the Maryland game tonight, which is where most of our attention is. Today, 301-230-0980 is the phone number as we're talking about this Maryland situation. And I appreciate Maryland fan Rob, who just full-on stepped out of the line to get into Nats Park. He's like, I don't care. The baseball's nice. I'm here for the Terps. I care about that more today. And we were talking more in the break, and I appreciate that, like, there is an undeniable element to this, that this stinks for the kids if this is something that they are focused on. I mean, Maryland is farther than it's ever been. And some of these kids, like Julian Reese, have been there. By the way, Chris Nocke is going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock to discuss more. He's obviously out in San Francisco for the game. But there's plenty of these kids at Maryland who, like, they've been working 4 years for this. Obviously, there are some transfers. Derek Queen's a freshman. But there are plenty of people within that program that have been working to get back to this point. And Kevin Willard certainly signed up to get back to this point. And it really is unfortunate, I guess is the easiest way to put it, that this, if you want to call it controversy, this whatever this is floating over tonight's game. But this is how life works sometimes. Like, business is messy. And ultimately, I think one of the things we hate about college sports is when we're reminded that it's a business. I think college sports was more enjoyable for all of us. And I'm not saying this is a good thing for the health of the sport, but college sports were more enjoyable for all of us when we could bury our heads in the sand and be like, these are amateur athletes out there playing for the love of the game. And it's like, that's not what we're doing here. Like, sure, there are some, and we're passionate about our universities. I mean, back when I was in school, my school was good at basketball. That was fun. School was decent at football. Like, those games were fun. Going as a professional to cover games, super fun, in elite environments. When I was working in Dallas, like, SMU was really, really good. Larry Brown was there. That arena was always packed and a lot of fun. Obviously, if you go to Xfinity Center here, if you go to some of the elite college football environments, go to a night game at LSU, like, it's, yes, of course, there is a purity, if you will, to college sports that can be a lot of fun. But we all know that underneath it all is a multi-billion-dollar business. And, like, if you want to really get mad at someone, get mad at the NCAA. And this is, I feel like I'm doing a radio show in 2013 now, but, like, the NCAA has been the one that messes this all up because they don't want to regulate anything. Like, the NCAA is, at its core, by definition, a regulatory body that regulates nothing. Except for sometimes they suspend kids for weed. Or, you know, like, oh, God, and before this, like the Johnny Manziel stuff. You signed some autographs. How dare you? Suspended. Like, what? What were we doing? Like, think of how absurd that sounds now that you have multi-billion. I mean, you got kids in the portal that you've never heard of asking for $1 million. But the NCAA doesn't want to put restrictions on it because they don't want to make anybody that mad and they don't want to be responsible and they don't really want to enforce anything. They just want to exist to rake in money from their corporate sponsors. One thing they will enforce, Shaq. You ever covered an NCAA tournament doing anything? Shaq from promotions, legend here. You ever done anything in an NCAA tournament ever? Buddy, if you do, you better put your drink in a Powerade cup. If you try to have, like, they'll water bottles, whatever, in the back. If it's not in the official NCAA cup, they will be like, no, sir, you can't bring that out there. If you're in the media, right? And they're only selling those the products outside anyway. Man, they love their corporate partners. They will take care of you like nobody's business if you're their corporate partner. Watch tonight on press row behind the benches, or if they show a reverse angle, especially on that first press row. Every single, I assume it's the same cups, if I'm remembering correctly from watching earlier in this tournament. But every single drink from every media member will be in a blue Powerade cup. Because Coca-Cola, who owns Powerade, is a corporate champion of the NCAA. That is how that works. If you want to be in business with the NCAA and give them money, they'll be your best friend. They, all those sponsors, oh, buddy, they're great business partners in that way. You want to actually have your coach or your players stay around for a while, especially, you know, their players are one thing, even with the NIL stuff. Those are yearly contracts, essentially. And they're young people who I transferred. I didn't play sports. I transferred schools. Why? Because I wanted a different major, and where I went, I changed my major because I was 18 years old and didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. Thought I wanted to do music production. Has helped me in radio, but I wanted to do music production, and pretty quickly I fell into radio and was like, oh, this is fun. I can't sing, but if they give me a mic and let me talk to it, I'm not bad at that. And so I was able to transfer as an 18-year-old kid, and ultimately did after my sophomore year as a 20-year-old kid, transfer, go to Syracuse. It changed my life. If people want to go to a different opportunity when they're young, like, I think they should have that ability. But also, there's something to be said about responsibility and loyalty and those things too, and sticking it out through tough times, and like, oh, I didn't get the playing time I thought. Well, you're 19 years old and you were behind a kid who's been here for 3 years. Like, suck it up, dude. So there's of course gray area in all of this. But if the NCAA simply was like, hey, coaches, if you sign a contract, and technically there's buyouts of these contracts, and so, like, no lawyers call the show. No, I mean, I don't want to get in trouble with any lawyers, but I understand the nuance here. But, like, the culture of college sports is follow the money. Who sets the culture? The NCAA, the regulatory arm that regulates nothing except for what cup you can drink out of at the NCAA tournament. So I think that reality, like, I don't know if people have ever put that together fully, but, like, yes, do I understand for Maryland tonight why you might be a fan who's mad at Kevin Willard? Yeah, I could definitely understand why you'd be mad at the university for not making this, hey, oh, what is it that you want? Okay, we'll fix that. We'll get it done. And now we're going to get to keep the coach who just brought us to our first Sweet 16 since 2016. It seems to have the program going in the right direction. I understand being mad at the administration, but also think about the environment that gets it here. And changing, you know, hopefully this doesn't make anybody too mad. I'm going to get slightly political just because the person I'm referencing is a political person. It's actually a nonpartisan statement, though, so nobody get triggered. We're adults here. President Obama used to say that making change is hard in government because government is an ocean liner. It's not a jet ski, right? You can't just turn it. Skirt. No, that's not how government works. The NCAA, if, I don't know, what's the ship? It's a mega yacht. It may not be an ocean liner and a tanker, but, like, those things don't turn easily. And so I think that understanding that, and understanding that if you want some things to change, even an athletic department, like, that's at least a pontoon that's not the most navigable thing. They're easy to turn than an ocean liner. It's easier to turn than, you know, what did I say, a yacht, a mega yacht? Like, okay, fine. But it's going to be uncomfortable at times to make those changes, and there's never going to be a convenient time to do it. If you always wait to change for the perfect time, you're never going to change. And so, yes, wrapping all this up, does it kind of stink for the kids involved here? Yeah. Do they care? Actually, probably not. They're probably very focused on Florida. And if anything, it's a small distraction where they would have been distracted by Stephen A. and LeBron yelling at each other on TV if they didn't have their own distraction. And I just don't think Like, I appreciate that Willard is like, yeah, this is hard, and I'm going to do it anyway because it's the right thing. And if you don't, then I have the actual leverage that I will go somewhere else, because that's the only way you can ever make change is if you have actual leverage or an excellent poker face and you're really good at bluffing. When we get back, either we'll take your calls at 301-230-0980 on all of that before Naki joins us. Or I wasn't going to talk about it, but since I mentioned it, maybe I will talk about the Stephen A. LeBron thing, because I actually don't think it's that complicated. And I think one person's really wrong and the other person's not. We'll talk about it next on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. We're outside Nats Park, right outside the Centerfield Gate, where we are at Tap 99. 99 bottles, or not, sorry, 99 Tap. I knew I was going to do that at some point. That I made the joke earlier on purpose. That one was an accident. 99 taps, 99 different types of beer that they have at Tap 99, hence the name. Kilwins, harder to know what it is, but you should go inside. Chocolate, ice cream, sweets, delicious things that I, as someone who is lactose intolerant, wish that I could have. That's actually, they're just torturing me, Shaq. Hey, go sit outside an ice cream shop as someone who loves ice cream and can't have it. Okay, great. So I'm going to spend my afternoon. By the way, we were talking about Maryland administrative choices for the first 45 minutes of the show. They've just made another one. I just saw this on NBC4's Instagram page in the break, because I was scrolling. If you want to follow me, by the way, Hoffman.sports, shameless plug. They've announced their commencement speaker. If it wasn't from NBC4, I would have thought this was a joke.
Kermit the Frog here.
No, seriously, Kermit the Frog is going to be their commencement speaker. Yeah.
Why Kermit?
Shaq just asked me why Kermit. Why would I know? I mean, but also, why not? Oh, which was that? Elmo was busy? Right. Miss Piggy also taken. I'm like, what would be the... She's speaking at Arkansas, clearly. That's a joke for those of you that know college sports mascots. Yeah, Kermit the Frog is apparently going to be the Maryland commencement speaker. Wow. Too stupid to make up. I mean, he's very motivational, very positive. Also, there's probably some joke to be made here about turtles and frogs, green, something. I don't know. Maybe that's the connection. There's probably also a better reason for it, but Kermit the Frog. Wow. I don't know how long is that commencement speech going to be? And, like, does the dude who does the Kermit deal have to, like, crouch down behind a podium? Because some commencement speeches are long, and like you have to be outside the entire. I don't know. Just feels like a lot. Feels like a lot. Apropos of none of that. Speaking of very stupid people talking about sports, Stephen A. Smith, LeBron James are what? Chris? What? LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith are apparently in a tiff. This all started in a way that Stephen A. Smith seems to forget. And this is the part of this that drives me absolutely bananas. If you do this job, you need to be willing to admit when you may have stepped in it. And you also need to remember the roles of each person. Ultimately, LeBron James's job is to play basketball. And your job is to talk about him playing basketball. And when Stephen A. Smith decided to, in front of his very large, I don't understand why, but very large television audience, say, as a father, you got to step in and stop this. That was a half a Stephen A. Smith impersonation, in case we're already. We didn't go full throat on it. But when he's talking about Bronny James struggling in an NBA basketball game, by the way, a rookie second-round pick struggling in an NBA basketball game is nothing new. The same kid, by the way, who's averaging like 20 points a game in the G League and actually playing a lot better than most people thought, who had 17 in a game like last week in the NBA. When you go, as a father, you need to step in and stop this. Like, yeah, LeBron James, the father, he can step in and stop this. What he wanted to stop was you talking about his son in a way that made him sound like a child, not a professional basketball player, and that, like LeBron, as a professional basketball player, and, you know, hey, like, if you want to talk about my game, that's fine. You want to talk about compare me to MJ, that's fine. I don't really care. All that kind of stuff. And Stephen A. then goes on his show today, exactly like LeBron said he would. You know, oh, I wouldn't talked about it unless the video came out. LeBron was like, that dude couldn't wait for the video to come out, and boy, was he right about that. And so, of course, and this is all LeBron answering questions for Pat McAfee. By the way, incredible that it's ESPN on ESPN crime. Every media dork's favorite kind. But he then is like, oh, LeBron made it personal. One, he said LeBron made it personal. No, you made it personal. Very, very different. LeBron responded to you making it personal, and you didn't like it. Two, Stephen A. said, I think it was on his podcast. He has way too many shows. But I think it was on his podcast that, oh, LeBron didn't put hands on me. If he had, I would have swung on him. I would like to remind anybody that can hear my voice here in the alley outside of the center field gate at Nats Park, in their cars, in their earphones, wherever and however you are listening right now, that LeBron James is 6'9", 260 pounds. Stephen A. Smith is not. LeBron James might be the best athlete in the history of humankind. Stephen A. Smith is not. LeBron James is still somehow playing professional sports at a high level. Stephen A. Smith never could. Stephen A. Smith is a journalist who was at a game as a fan and was confronted by a player on the court. He's lucky that he was on the court. LeBron James's job is to be on the court. No, you wouldn't have swung on him. Being a tough guy behind a microphone is the lamest thing that people do in this business. The absolute lamest. And that is why I'm very careful when I do this show that I will absolutely criticize folks. I will talk about what the things that I know. Talk about contracts. Talk about pay. Talk about play. Talk about all those things. I will do that through a lens of I have a lot of respect for what they do. It is extraordinarily hard. And there is no way in hell I could do any part of it. And most people in the media look at me as if I'm a really good athlete. Like, yeah, I do some fitness stuff, but like, I ain't a really good athlete. I think most of my colleagues at the radio station think I could run like a 4.640. I don't know if I could run a 5.2. And that's not saying like, oh, I'm so slow. Like, a 5.2 is insanely fast for a regular person. Like, I don't think that the average person has a comprehension of what they're watching, especially because it gets normalized on television. Nevertheless, unless you go to a game and you're watching from the 200s to 300s, go sit courtside. Understand how fast it is. I mean, I would challenge anybody just walking by that didn't play elite, like high school level or higher baseball to stand at third base on a major league field and try to get the ball to first. It's a 100-foot throw at least. It's really, really far. It's certainly not something you could just snap off and get there. Like, you watch a baseball game, a Major League Baseball game in person, and you watch guys run down the first baseline. You're just like, no, there's no way that ground to the third, he's going to throw that guy out. And then you see how the ball jumps from their hand to the first baseman. Like, these are different levels of human production, human force production. And Stephen A. Smith was going to punch LeBron James. Okay, bud. Okay. Stop. Just. And I hate talking about it because he wants attention. And we live in an attention economy. But I actually don't believe all attention is good attention. And I hope that the last 4 minutes of radio were bad attention for Stephen A. Smith and make someone listening who watches that silly show on ESPN, First Take, where they're cutting all of their journalism and all of the good things that gave them credibility for years. And they are going, yeah, I don't think I should watch that guy. He's not worth my time. So a lot of content out there. You can watch that. Stephen A., by the way, has a tremendous resume of actual journalism. He got to the place he was at by doing good work. And then he got there and turned himself into someone that says he would punch LeBron James. All righty then. When we get back, Chris Nocke, super smart. He's on the call for Maryland tonight. We'll get his thoughts on the Willard situation, obviously, as well as the actual game against Florida. Also, I feel like I'm warmed up because we had hecklers earlier trying to get in here. But never read the comments. It's coming later. That's where I deal with hecklers on the internet and they can't yell back at me. That's way better radio. We'll come back. We never read the comments at 5:30. Chris Nocke next on The Hoffman Show.